Is it?
Yeah.
At last. All right, got your Bibles?
Yep.
Second Chronicles. How do you get this thing up? Can you lift this up a bit? You adjusted it for yourself, didn't you? Huh? Oh, that's right. I'm just getting used to this Melbourne weather. Terrible, isn't it? The first day was just a trick us all, amen? Make us think it was nice here. Yeah. It was a lie. All right, look back down the book, Chronicles. First Chronicles, I said second, didn't I? First Chronicles, sorry. Chapter 4. And this morning, I want to concentrate on a little bit on your future, okay? We're reading verse 9. First Chronicles 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst be with me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And the Lord granted him that which he requested. Help us, Father, this morning understand this passage, two verses about one man. And thank you, Lord, for the testimony. And Father, if we had to write our testimony in two verses, it would be very difficult. So we pray now, bless the young people as they listen, and help me to be a blessing to them in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope the past 2 days have been a help to you to understand that the Word of God is where you need to be having your face every day. Amen?
Amen.
And I hope every day is a wonderful time for you as you read. And what you ought to do is have a diary. It's something that's old-fashioned. But have a diary and write down the things that just jump out at you. And there will be some every 2 or 3 days. There'll be something that'll hit you in the face. Write it down. Why? Because eventually there'll be enough of those short little phrases that jump at you, and you'll be able to put them together and form a picture. And that picture will lead you to what God wants you to do. That's the will of God. God will give it to you in pieces. You know why? Because you couldn't handle it all at once. All right. If God would have told me all that I had to go through in jungles and everywhere else for the last 47 years, I'd have jumped off a bridge. I would have said, that's not really what I want to do. Now, I don't know what else I would want to do. Now, just yesterday I was thinking, if I had to retire, say this year, I'll be 70 this year, if I had to retire, I would climb the walls, literally. I would go insane if I couldn't travel. I don't know exactly what I would do. I'm dreading it, really. I can't imagine going out fishing every morning and doing something like old people do. Amen? So, look, I'm coming home from a 2-month trip now. This is the last day. Tomorrow I'll be home. I'm already in the next trip. I'm already on the plane, already on the go. So what on earth would I do? Anyway, we have a testimony here of a man that has, he was a man in a difficult time in the nation of Israel. He was a man in the darkness of Israel. So in every age in the Bible, you'll find that God found a man, or sometimes when he couldn't find a man, he found a woman. Amen? Hello? Amen? Listen up, guys. There are times when God can't find a man. And if he needs to use a woman, that's exactly what he'll do. So you ladies, you're not crossed out. Amen? God hasn't just left you out. Maybe if the guys can't do it, you'll have to step in and show them what to do. And so the Lord has found women in the past. And here we see this man, though. He has two verses to describe his whole life existence. Two verses. Now, what if I sent you home with a piece of paper and said, okay, you've got two verses to tell me about your whole life story. Could you do it? No. Some of you would have nothing to say, amen? Hello? You'd have nothing to say because you've done nothing yet, amen? But some of you have done some things, but two verses wouldn't be enough room. So God has condensed all of it, as marvelous as the Holy Spirit is, in two verses. Let's look at them very quickly to just get that part out of the way, right? It says in verse 9 there, he was more honorable. That word honorable is mentioned just a couple more times in the Bible. It's not a word we use very often. And if I asked you, what does that word honorable mean? Probably you'd get it wrong. Who knows what honorable means?
With honor.
Hmm?
With honor.
With honor, okay, that's what he says. What does it mean? Come on, you're laughing. Get up and tell us.
I would have guessed the same.
Same, all right. Just following him because he's got blue jeans on, eh? All right, he's covered you before. Anyone else? Honorable. What does it make you think of?
Clean ones.
Huh? Come on. Yes?
Respect.
Speak up.
Respect.
Respect. All right. Maybe we're getting warmed up now. Respect. Anyone else? Boys, are you asleep? Honorable.
Sorrowful by any chance?
Who?
Sorrowful.
Sorrowful. No. Jabez means sorrow, so no, that's not the right one. All right, listen carefully. It's going to surprise you. Look at me. The word means loaded, like as in a gun, loaded with blessings. Write it down. Honorable. Loaded with blessings. Now, look at your life. How many bullets have you got? How many are loaded with blessings? How many blessings could you tell me between yesterday morning and this morning? Are you loaded?
Yes,
sir. Or do you have to wait for something to happen?
Loaded.
Are you ready at any minute to speak up, to stand up and say, well, I'm loaded. I've got things to tell you. This is what God did for me yesterday. Hey, listen, I don't want to hear about a week ago. Nobody gets in the back of the fridge looking for a week old piece of pizza. Amen? Amen? That's for the dog. I want something fresh. Fresh. So what have you got? Have you got something? Because if you haven't, you're not honorable. There it is. That's what the word means. He was loaded with blessing. And he was one of millions that was loaded. Apparently, God couldn't find too many others. Then, secondly, he died, apparently, or his mother died when she had him as a baby. So before she died, she gave him a name, Jabez. Jabez means sorrow. So if you have a baby, don't call him Jabez. Amen?
Yes.
That's not a name you give a baby. Sorrow. Okay? something. You've got to say, give him a nice name, like Zerubbabel or something like that. All right? When you're a pastor, you know, and I was one for over 20 years, you have to go to the hospital, the people have babies, and you've always got to say, isn't it lovely? Isn't it cute? And it looks like a truck ran over its head. the head's still lopsided and still trying to round out, and here you are telling lies. Isn't it beautiful? No, it looks like a truck hit it. Now, anyway, but you just tell little white lies, amen? Because the mother can't see it's not round. Okay, but everybody else can. Now, so don't have me come to look at your baby, amen? Did you hear about the Chinese couple went to the hospital? Chinese couple. And the doctor said, look, I know you've been waiting to have a baby for a long time, but there's a problem with your baby. And I can't really explain it. I'm going to bring the baby out behind the glass wall here, and then you'll see the problem. Amen? So they're waiting anxiously, and the doctor comes out with the baby, and he's got one ear stuck up out here, it's this ear, and the other ear is right down here. And the husband looks at his wife and says, look at our baby. What are we going to call our baby? And she said, Something Wrong. Something Wrong. All right. Anyway, if you didn't get it, see me later. All right. Look at verse 10. Jabez called on God, the God of Israel. That's prayer. Amen. He called on God. He prayed. And he said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Let's stop right there. This little phrase says something. It's a little phrase that says more than what it says here. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me means this. He knelt down and he literally said to God, I'm staying here until you answer my prayer. Now, many of you, and I want you to admit it now, many of you have started a prayer sometime in life or several times, and you finished that prayer, you stopped praying about that thing because no answer came and you lost interest. Hands up. Every hand up. Thank you very much. You prayed for something and then you quit. Why did you quit? See, that's what you need to know. Amen. Why did you stop praying for something? I'll tell you why. The Bible tells us we don't know how to pray. That's the first thing you ought to know.
That's right.
We have no idea how to pray because we can't tell the future. And so sometimes we pray and I initiate the prayer. I was the one that started the prayer. It wasn't the Spirit of God teaching me to pray. I thought it was a great idea, and I'm presenting it to God for his approval. Amen? So I initiated that prayer. That's why nothing happened. You with me? That's why you never got an answer. Because it didn't start with the Spirit of God. It started with you and ended with you. Mm. It was a dead-end prayer. Mm. All right. So when the Holy Spirit puts something in here, you will know it wasn't from you.
That's right.
It's probably going to be pretty big. It's going to be pretty broad. It's going to be hard for you to understand, but he put it in there. You'll know it wasn't your idea, and then you know you're going to get an answer, and that's what he's talking about. He said, you've spoken to me, God, and now I know there's going to be an answer. I'm staying here, right here, until you answer me. Just afterwards, okay? Now, listen very carefully. The next time you pray, try and figure out who started the prayer. You or the Holy Spirit? Was it you trying to get God to agree with you? Or did the Spirit of God plant something in there that was real? That's why we have millions of unfinished prayers in the past. Think how much time we've wasted chasing prayers that we initiated and God never had anything to do with it. Amen? Think about it. And so he said, I'm praying here, right? Look at the verse again. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Why? Why does he want to bless him? He said, because I'm going to enlarge my coast. Now, how many of you like walking along the beach? Put your hand up. All right. You know where the beach starts and you know where it ends. Amen? Amen? And then when you get to the end, you turn around, usually. Well, unless you want to sleep there and freeze to death, you turn around and go back. All right. You know the width of the beach, the length and the width. You know it. So, I need two guys. You two guys come over here. All right, I'm just going to show you very quickly what this means to enlarge my coast. Amen? Now, I want you to stand side by side, touching each other. All right. Now, let's pretend that these are two goalposts. Amen? They're ugly, aren't they? and this is how much you've done in your lifetime is squashed between those two arms. Amen? Don't lift your arms up, please. Just imagine that's all you've done in your lifetime. And Jabez, like you, has had good teaching. All right? His father was a man who actually taught people in Bible colleges. We learn that from history books. He was a man of God. Because he grew up with no mother. That's pretty tough. Amen? Pretty tough. But he had learned some things. What are you supposed to do with things that you learn from the pastor? Use them. That's why he's teaching you. He can't do much else than that. The pastor is just a communicator to teach you, and if you don't take that and run with it, then you're a dope. You're a real dope. You don't understand what teaching's about. Amen? It's for you. Why do you think you go to church? It's for you. Why does a pastor study? It's for you. And then you say, I couldn't make it because my nose was running. No, put a fork in it and come to church. Don't find excuses. Amen? No excuses. My son tried that one time in his lifetime. He said, Daddy, I'm not feeling well. I picked him up, put him in the car, took him to church, put him on the back of it, down the back there, put a blanket on him and said, now shut up and don't ever do this to Daddy again. And that was the last time he ever tried that. The last time. Now you better listen. When the word of God is being preached and the door of the church is open, you better be there. Because Amen. Every message you do not listen to and you're not there, you're responsible for that message. The preacher prepared it for you. Amen? For you. It's like a meal. And then you didn't show up. Why? Oh, my friend had a birthday. Fooey on your friend. Have the party on Monday. To go and meet God and listen to His word is more important than your friend.
Amen.
Or your grandma or anybody else. Isn't it funny when someone gets sick, the whole family has to go see them? Not just one person, everybody has to go. Amen? And the preacher's wondering where you are. He's prepared a meal for you and you don't show up. So anyway, Jabez had everything. He learned quite a bit in his youth, okay? But now he's saying, now I have all this knowledge stacked up in here. I'm going to enlarge my coast. So I'm going to enlarge it and enlarge it and enlarge it. I'm going to stretch God out as far as I can get. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for you. It's time for you to start moving the goalposts. enlarge my coast. Because when you get to the end of the beach, guess what? Around the corner from the rocks, there's another beach. Say amen. It's never ending in Australia. It just goes round and round and round, and it comes back to where it started. Amen? We're blessed like that. So, what are you going to do with what you learn? That's why young people drop out of church. They don't take what they've learned and expand it.
Right?
They don't do it. They just take what they've learned and then go and do something else. That's what they do. We talked about that yesterday, doing your own thing. You're an idiot. Amen?
That's right.
And for those of you sitting here this morning and you've already calculated what you want to be and what you want to do, you're a double idiot. You are not in this life to do anything that you want. God's only interested in what He wants.
Right.
Not what you want.
Amen.
And when you stand before Him, all alone, you'll stand there, all alone. He'll say, did you do what I wanted, or did you do what you wanted?
Mm.
And you might try and lie, and God says, well, let's throw it all in the fire and see what's left.
Mm.
And for some of you, it'll be... and all gone. Gone. It took a minute and it all just burned up. Because it was all hay. It was all grass. It was all stubble. See? So, what are you going to enlarge your life with now? You're about to finish school. On that last day in school, you can be seated, boys. On the last day in school, listen to me very carefully. You'll be standing on a box, literally. You'll be standing on a box, and there'll be several voices shouting at you. The devil will be shouting at you, and he'll say, I've got something for you. I've got surprises for you. Then the world will be shouting at you, come my way. We've got things for you. And then there'll be a quiet voice. That'll be God, and the same, come over here. I've got everything planned. Which way are you going to go? You're going to enlarge your coast one way or another somewhere. It better be that quiet voice. And God doesn't have to call you twice. Listen to me. He's not obligated to call you twice.
Mm-hmm.
Only once. If you take the wrong choice because mum and dad said, I have to be a builder. Mum and dad said, I have to be a doctor, a dentist. With my little tools. And my little white coat. Listen, mum and dad are not God.
That's right.
You understand me? And the mentality of most mum and dads nowadays is, you've got to be secure. You have your security already. You're saved.
Amen.
And the best part is, your whole life's work is already set. It's already written. It's already prepared for you. You have to take it from God and do it. If you don't take it and do it, you'll go the other direction. I ask girls sometimes, what do you want to do? I want to be a hairdresser. Do you want to spend all your life playing with people with nits and lice? Go ahead. If you think that's really exciting, go ahead. It's worse than a boy says that. I want to be a hairdresser. That's worse. What is going to be the great accomplishment in your life? What is that one accomplishment in your life? What is it? What are you going to bring to God? You say you love Him, but what are you going to bring Him? Amen? What are you going to show for your life?
Whatever he wants me to.
Bring something, amen?
Amen.
Don't come empty-handed. Mm. Hey, that's a bad way to show up. When I was 17, I was offered a soccer contract in Europe. You've all heard of the Bundesliga in Germany. Yeah, I could have made $1 million a year just at 17 years of age. And I only started at $1 million. And my unsaved father, he just looked at me. He said, son, money won't help you. And he was lost. I said, thank you, Dad. And I let it go. The following week, God said, pick up the soccer ball. I picked it up. He said, good, put it in the cupboard. And don't touch it again. Amen. God said, I've got something much bigger than a soccer ball. Now I've been around the world 82 times of my 82 laps around the world. I've made 3,000 flights on aeroplanes. Thousands of people have been saved. Thousands of pastors have been trained. Had I played soccer, by the age of 32, I'd have been finished and done with. Injured all over. Probably married 5 times. Total mess. Just look at Ronaldo. He's a total mess. And now he's been found out this week. They found out he's had several women and abused them. It's all going to blow up in his face. Hello? What are you going to do with your life? You're here to change the world, not to make money. If you make money, it's not for you. Say it with me. If you make money, it's not for you. Say it again.
If you make money, it's not for you.
No. If you make money, it's going to be for others. My whole life is devoted to others. The life of Christ was devoted to others. And so should your life be. So when you start climbing the mountain with God, it's like climbing a mountain. The Bible says here, what does it say? Look at it again. He said, enlarge my coast that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldst keep me from evil. Listen, the higher you climb with God, you've got to be climbing a mountain with him. The higher you go, the fewer friends you're going to have. They'll drop off the edge as you're going up. Amen?
Right.
They'll want to go back to the world.
Mm.
And some only ever come to help carry the boxes down the bottom. They're called box carriers. India's full of them. You go to the Himalayas, everybody's a box carrier. Amen? They come to the base camp, drop your bag off, drop your tent off, and say goodbye. You know why? Because they're scared of going any further. They know every step is another risk. And they will not stay. They're superstitious. You don't hear of any Indians getting to the top of Mount Everest, have you? No, they don't do it. They'll just drop the stuff off, get their money for carrying, and they're gone. And then the people who get to the top are two or three normally. Two or three people. Why? Because the air gets very thin on the way up. And you can't breathe on the way up anymore, which means your body can't move. And only the very fittest make it. And many die at the top, because they don't have enough oxygen to get back down to where you don't need oxygen. I've read stories of people who went there to die. They went there because they wanted to conquer the mountain, but they knew they would never be strong enough to get back down to carry enough oxygen on their back. They died. So the higher you climb with God, the fewer friends you're going to have. The fewer friends will still be with you. That's why he said, to go to the top, I need your hand of protection, God. I can't dare do this on my own. I'm not going to make it. So where do you stand? The best part of the story is God gave him everything he asked for. Everything. Read it. Look at the last part. And God what? Say it out loud. And God
granted him that which he requested.
Now we don't even know everything he asked for. But he got all of it. All of it. Imagine? All of it. Why? Because God planted that prayer and that desire in his heart. God planted it there so he knew he could boldly come and ask for it. And that's what he did. Now, if you're going to find God's will at the top of the mountain, well, it's a hard road. People will laugh at you. They'll laugh at you. They'll think you're crazy to want to find the will of God. They'll tell you, oh, you better get a trade first, and blah, 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 and this and that. Listen, serving God is the highest trade you can get involved in. Any other job is 100 down at the end of the list. Now, the ones of you that are going to struggle the most with what I said are those of you who come to live in Australia from another country. You're going to struggle the most because you've come from poverty and your parents have sworn black and blue that you are not going to be as unfortunate and as poor as they were, correct? They're not going to let you do that. So they're going to make you get a trade, they're going to make you spend 10 years studying and all that fooling around, and you will completely miss the will of God. Completely miss it. You'll miss it. You'll have a nice job, you'll have a nice house, and then suddenly Jesus will come. Like the rich man. He stored all his stuff. He said, I've got all this big harvest, I need to build bigger sheds. And God said, you fool, I'm coming tonight for your soul.
Right.
Yes, those of you who've come here from somewhere else, this battle will be the worst of your life. So prepare yourself for it. Prepare yourself. Those of you who are born in Australia, you're dealing with apathy. She'll be right, mate. Amen? She'll be right. I'll find something to do. No, no, no. No. You have to do what God wants, not what you want. If you want to be an average Christian, go line up somewhere. This country's full of them. Average, useless Christians. Our churches are full of them. Useless. They can't do anything. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to climb the mountain. They just want to stay down there with their binoculars and say, oh, I see him. I see him. He's doing all right. Yeah, they're always praying for someone else, but never themselves. Enlarge my coast, he said, not somebody else. My coast. Now, what is it you need to be doing right now? This is important. Now, listen. Right now, when you move those goalposts, you need to sharpen up your skills. Write it down. Sharpen up your skills. Amen? That means anything you're good at, anything you can do, sharpen up those skills. Amen? You don't know what God wants you to do. If you don't know yet, put your hand up. Okay? That's pretty good. That means you have to wait at hamburger shop for a year for God to speak to you, amen? You haven't forgotten that, have you? Okay? You're waiting for God to speak to you. In the meantime, you don't just stand and say, I'm making burgers. No, no. Get involved in church and do everything in church the pastor allows you to do. What did I say? How much?
Everything.
From picking up the papers around the yard to cleaning the toilets.
Amen.
You know, when I was a pastor, my wife and I cleaned all the toilets for 10 years. That's right. We cleaned all the toilets for 10 years. Sunday morning, Wednesdays, Sunday night, Tuesday nights for children's club, Friday nights. I did all the toilet cleaning. After church, they all went home. We cleaned all the messes up their kids made and they made. Then one day I said to my wife, it's somebody else's turn, amen? Amen?
Amen.
Huh? I got enough poo all over my arms and legs. Somebody else's turn. So I made a little piece of paper. I made a roster on it. I took everybody's name, put them on the roster, and on Sunday morning I announced it. I said, I have a job for all of you. You're on a roster. And they said, oh, amen, amen. I said, good, bring your bucket, bring your gloves. You're cleaning the poo house. I'm sick of cleaning your children's poo up and their mess up. Now it's your turn. And if you don't like it, don't come back next Sunday. I'm that kind of guy. I don't fool around with people. We didn't lose anybody. They all took their bit of paper and they all did their job. And you know what? After they started cleaning the toilets, it was easier to do it. Because they realized what a mess they made and their children made. So, but it became a little ministry for some people. And out of that, eventually, a volunteer team formed. What's your ministry? Oh, I pick up the poo. Right? Amen? Well, that's good. Nobody else wants to do it. Amen?
Yeah. Amen?
See? So, you've got to do every ministry from the dirtiest to the cleanest. So that you know what everybody else in church has to go through. Once you know that, you know a little bit about what the pastor has to go through. Because he's blowing everybody's nose and cleaning everyone's bottom in church. That's what pastors do. Literally. Because the people in our churches nowadays are like big babies. You have to just help them all the time. They're high maintenance babies. And so you've got to understand that. Take every job the pastor gives you. Don't screw your nose up. Don't say, I can't do that. You take it. That's the main thing you do now while you're waiting for God to speak to you. Now, I want you to write two words down. These are the hardest two things for a Christian to do. The hardest two things. Write that down. The hardest two things for any Christian to learn. The hardest two things for any Christian to learn. What are they, I wonder? Alright, I'm going to give you a clue for each one. First one starts with a T. No, but that would be close. Tithing would be close.
Thanksgiving?
No. Shorter word.
Joy.
Trust. Thank you. The hardest thing for a Christian to do is fully trust God. To fully trust Him. Now, 2 days ago, my wife called. She said, I might have cancer again. She said, I got x-ray and all these spots. Hey, look, I didn't fall on the floor and cry. I get these phone calls all the time and I'm away 10 months of the year. If I came home, every time my wife called or somebody else, I'd be a nervous wreck. I put it in a basket at night. I send it up to God. Okay. Thank you, God. Good night. That's it. If you don't do that, you go insane.
That's right.
God said, cast it all to me. Cast all your cares to me. What does casting mean? That's what it means. Catch. Wake up.
Throw. Toss.
It means to throw. You throw it to God. Throw it. Thank you. Why? Because it's a hot potato. Amen. That's why. If you don't throw it, you're stupid. You're going to burn your fingers. Amen.
Amen.
Throw it to me, says. Throw it to me. Why don't you throw it to me?
I want to burn my fingers.
Every night. And sometimes I put people in the basket who annoy me or don't like my preaching or whatever. Or they tell rumors or gossip. I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I'm not. I shout and scream and preach, but I preach the truth. I'm not afraid. Amen? And so I put them in a basket. I call them basket cases. Amen? Say, there's two more, Lord, basket cases. Good night. Or I could sit down and stew about it and all that sort of thing. I'm not going to do that.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
So, I don't know, your trust may not be at that stage yet, but your trust has to keep growing in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Trusting in Him. If you can't trust Him, tell me, who can you trust? Anyone? No one. Number two. I wonder what the second one is. Short word, starts with a W.
Wait.
They that
wait
upon the Lord shall what?
Okay.
If you don't wait, you have no strength. Got it? If you don't wait, you can't fly. You with me?
Yes.
They're the two hardest things for a Christian to learn. To trust God completely and to wait until He speaks. I don't want to say this, but I will. Some of you are going to get married because you can't wait.
That's right.
And it's going to cost you.
Mm.
It's going to cost you the will of God. You'll never find it. Please. There's nothing wrong with being 30 years old and still being single. What is the rush? Oh, I've got to have children. I've got to have 10 children. No, you don't. You've got to marry the right person. That's what you've got to do. If you have 10, bless God. Amen. That's fine. But listen, you don't rush because you have to have 10 children.
Right.
What's important is you marry the right person.
Amen.
Like I say, you can't pick it. You have to take what God gives you. Right? Please. I don't want to come to your wedding. Because then it's too late. I've been to weddings where the bride ran outside when the pastor said, "Say I do." Couldn't do it. I've never been to one where the boy ran out because boys are in a hurry to get in the bed. It's always the girl. I'm not quite sure. Boys will promise you things, girls, that can't keep. Boys are professional liars. I'm just telling you the truth. They'll tell you everything they're going to do Well, why aren't they doing it now? Why aren't they doing it before you get married? Why are they promising something they don't even know about later? If they're not doing it now, don't touch them. Wait. Don't be looking for a boy who's got money and a car and a flat and all that. That's all baloney. You're not marrying a thing, you're marrying a person. Better for you to have been sitting down on two fruit boxes and you've got nothing else, but you're happy. And you know you've got the person of God's choice. What are the two words?
Trust
and
wait.
Is it bad to be married in your late 20s? Is it bad to be married in your 30s? Wait. Some of the happiest couples I know got married in their 50s. And couldn't even have kids. But they're happy because they waited. When they got together, they knew immediately what God wanted them to do. It was immediate. So, this man Jabez waited on God, climbed the mountain, got to the top, and God gave him everything he needed. And he'll give the same to you if you wait and trust him. Amen? This is the last sad story in my closing prayer. A young couple came to my office when I was pastoring. The day after they got married. Where are you supposed to be the day after you got married? Somewhere where you're all in love and it's all gooey and all that, whatever. And they knocked on my door early Monday morning. But I could see they had both been weeping quite a bit. They came in my office. And the boy looked at me. They weren't from our church. I don't know why they came to me. He said, Brother Angel, we both know we married the wrong person. This is one day later. And he looked at me and said, what can I do? I looked him in the eye and said, get used to it. You got a better answer? Get used to it. Now you're going to have to learn to love her. Get used to it. You understand me, young people? Then I looked at her. I said, why did you marry him? She said, it felt right. I said, did you have any verses? No. I said, did your mum and dad, were they for it? No. Was your pastor for it? No. Was anybody in your family for it? No. Any of your friends agree with you? No. I said, you're really dumb. Really, really dumb. She said, what can I do? I said, you can get used to it too. But I don't love him. I said, well, you've been around him for 2 years. I mean, just figure that out. You're dumber even than what I said before, eh? See? Wait. And when everybody tells you no, that's a pretty good indicator something's not right. Hello? Amen? Well, they lasted 6 months. And they split. She ran off with another guy. He got her pregnant. And then as soon as she got pregnant, he left her. And she got married again. Got pregnant again. And the third guy left her. I mean, this girl wasn't ugly. She was a picture postcard girl. That's the problem. She was a bimbo. And now, I've lost contact. But she's not anywhere near God or near the church. Kim, you found another girlfriend. Same story. And she left him. And he lived alone for a while. Now he's got another girlfriend. I met him this year. 40 years have passed nearly. I said, did you learn anything yet? He said, I don't think so. You see? What two things did he do wrong? He didn't trust God in the first place. He didn't trust the people around him who gave him the right advice. He didn't trust him. And he couldn't wait. And now there's three or four unwanted children. Alone, there's three or four children that nobody really wants living in this world. They're shattered, they're broken, they're confused, they know nobody loves them. And that's the part we don't want to think about. You're going to produce children that you don't even want yourself if you don't get it right. They are the ones who will pay the price. Not so much you, they will pay the price for your stupidity and selfishness. So this is a sobering message, amen? Get it right. Make sure. Look, sometimes other people can see what you can't see. They can see things you can't see. A pastor has, how many senses do we have? How many? A pastor has six. He can sense and see things in you that you cannot see and that others cannot see. So you better be asking, is there anything you know, Pastor, that I should know that I can't see? Tell me. Tell me. I need to know now, not later. Now. Amen? Let's pray. Father, how we thank you today. We have all the tools to get things right. Especially for your word, we're grateful. What a wonderful book. But it's a holy book. It has no mistakes, only answers. And as I looked across this room, how I wished I could say, all as young people in the next 10 years will be serving you. I wished I could say it. And I pray, dear Lord, today that those who have the courage, those who have the understanding of what we've talked about the past 3 days, will understand that you don't make any mistakes. None. It's only us that make the errors. And so they need to be in touch with you, be reading your word, and be talking to others who can see things we can't see. Give them that wisdom. Thank you for Jabez. Thank you for his testimony. We look forward to meeting him in heaven. Thank you, he had assurance his prayer came from the Holy Spirit. And that's why he had the boldness to ask for all those things. The conference is almost over. We go home. And for a day or two, many of the young people here will feel lonely because all their friends are gone suddenly. They'll feel cold and lonely. And I pray that you'll fill their hearts with desire to move the goalposts and to start getting out and sharpening all the skills while you're preparing to speak to them. Maybe they need to take a year off after school just to rest their bodies from school, and then give you time to speak to them in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, young people. Thank you for listening, and I've enjoyed it very much. And I'm not going to lie and say I'll pray for all of you, but if your face pops up, I'll be praying for you. That's the promise. So when your face pops up and I'm having my prayer time, you're either in big trouble or you're having a blessing. Amen? So I'll be looking for your face. And you do the same to me. Don't pray. Don't say, I'll pray for you, Brother Anger. When my face comes up, I'm either in a ditch somewhere on the mission field, falling off a motorbike, or slowly dying, or whatever. Sounds like Hollywood, doesn't it? And that's when you can pray. Amen? Just when the face pops up. All right, God bless you, and go and have a rest now. Amen?